the same time, we must accumulate more good karma. By reducing our greed, to maintain contentment, to control our hatred or cruelty, to develop kindness or compassion, we should wipe out illusion or ignorance to have a better understanding or to maintain purity in the mind. We must practice patience and tolerance to create a pleasant and peaceful atmosphere, not only for ourselves, but for our fellow beings. It is due to lack of this kind of spiritual development in the mind that today the whole world has become a battlefield. When all the mental defilements are eradicated, we will be completely free from all the existing burdens and disturbances and unsatisfactions. Any other methods that we adopt to overcome our problems will never give complete satisfaction. How do we experience the reaction or the effect of our good and bad karma in different ways? Assume that all of us jointly committed one evil deed, but that each and every person has done it with a different mental attitude. For example, assume that all of us to kill a man. One person killed for his own safeguard. Another person killed because of his jealousy. Another person killed to protect others, and so on. So, different people have different motives or mental attitudes. When we are going to pay for this act of killing, the effect will be different, although the action is the same. The decrease of the reaction or the bad effect reduce or increase according to the degree of the mental impurities that we maintain in the action of killing. That is the main reason why the Buddha introduced this word karma as volitional activity. There is another important aspect for us to consider when we do some meritorious deeds. We can see that there are people who have enough property and money and everything, but they are very unfortunate. When they come to experience these worldly effects, some cannot eat, some cannot sleep, and cannot enjoy their life. Either they are suffering from some sicknesses, ignorance, or madness. The reason for that is when they were doing some meritorious deeds during their previous birth, some sort of mental impurities or selfishness might have polluted the purity of the mind. Since they have done some merit or charity, they gain or inherited many things as their property. It is natural, but their previous mental pollution hinders them from fully enjoying worldly happiness through their material wealth. So, when we do some meritorious deeds, we must remember that we have to do them with understanding and pure mind. We must have confidence and happiness when we do some good, but not for profit or to gain publicity. We have to perform meritorious deeds by realizing their real value, by developing certain good qualities in the mind. Another important aspect is that our aspiration should always be to gain more knowledge, understanding and wisdom. Otherwise, we will not know the real nature of the reactions to our deeds, whether we aspire for it or not. A good action naturally creates a good reaction, and a bad action creates a bad reaction. This is a universal law. We must be wise when we perform meritorious deeds. We can gain whatever we wish or aspiration we create in our mind. But the aspiration must be free from selfishness. We should not aspire only for our own sensual pleasure and material well-being, because the result of such aspiration will be short-lived and impermanent. All our good karmas must be accompanied with the firm aspiration to gain wisdom and finally emancipation, or our liberation from worldly suffering. When the Bodhisattva was working for his enlightenment, he did innumerable meritorious deeds. He developed a strong determination aiming only at one thing, that is, his wisdom for enlightenment. By the grace of this merit, may I gain my enlightenment to enlighten others. This was his aspiration. This aspiration was working all the while during his previous birth. He drove him on through countless births and rebirths until he finally attained Buddhahood. As Buddhists, when we perform some meritorious deeds, we also make some aspirations in our mind in the following way. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo sasana samagamo hotu yag nibbana patthiya. Meaning, by the grace of this meritorious action, may I never associate with foolish people or those who have low mentality, but only with the wise up to the time I attain final happiness, Nibbana. Anyway, it is not necessary for you to recite this aspiration in the Pali language. You can use any language that you can understand, so long as you know that your final aim is the attainment of wisdom. Some Buddhists have a doubt about their reason. They ask, although we are Buddhists here in this life, what will happen to us if we happen to be born in another religious family after our death? Well, it is not a big problem, because among the followers of other religions also, there are good religious-minded people who also do much good deeds. We should not think that we are better than the others just because we have the Buddhist label. Sometimes there are more virtuous people among the followers of other religions than those so-called Buddhists who kill, lie, lust, and drink. Some are very understanding and generous, kind, and sincere. They may have different views or beliefs and different cultural practices and traditions, but mere beliefs are not very important. If they lead a decent and righteous life, And if they are understanding and harmless, such good qualities are more than enough to continue their noble way of life. When the Buddha was working for his enlightenment as a bodhisattva, in many of his previous births, he was not born in Buddhist families all the time. In fact, there were no Buddhists before the Buddha. There were only good people. Therefore, he could manage to maintain his good work and to gain his perfection or enlightenment. Occasionally, he met the previous Buddha and received their blessing and confirmation to carry on his search for the perfection in order to gain his enlightenment with conviction. There are 10 kinds of kusala karma or meritorious actions. They are generosity, dana, morality, sila, meditation, bhavana, reverence, service, transference of merit, rejoicing in others' merit, a straightening of one's own will, hearing the doctrine of Dhamma, expounding the doctrine. On the other hand, there are 10 kinds of unwholesome actions, akusala karma, or evil actions are caused by deeds, words, and thoughts. 3 are caused by the body, namely, killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. 4 are caused by words, namely, lying, slandering, heartbeat, and frivolous talk. 3 are caused by mind, namely, covetousness, ill will, and false greed. The Buddha has explained how the karmic results condition the next life. Killing, stealing, unlawful sexual intercourse, lying, slandering, rude speech, foolish babble, if practiced, carried on, and frequently cultivated, leads to rebirth in hell, or among the animals, or among the goats. He who kills and is cruel goes either to hell or, if reborn as man, will be short-lived. He who torments others will be afflicted with disease. The angry one will look ugly. The envious one will be without influence. The stingy one will be poor. The stubborn one will be of low vigilance. The indolent one will be without knowledge. In the contrary case, man will be reborn in heaven or reborn as man. He will be long-lived, possessed of beauty, influence, noble reason and knowledge. Usually, people believe that karma is deposited or stored in our subconscious mind. This is actually a psychological interpretation, but from the Buddhist point of view, karma is not located in any particular place. It is mentioned in one of our religious books that karma is not stored somewhere in this fleeting consciousness or in any part of the body, but is dependent on mind and matter. It stays at rest, manifesting itself at the opportune moment, just as mangoes are not said to be stored somewhere in the mango tree, but develop depended on the mango tree and many other factors in due season. Just as wind or fire is not strong in any particular place, even so, karma is not strong anywhere within or without the body. Karma is an individual force which is transmitted from one existence to another. Classifications of karma. There are moral and immoral actions which may produce their results in a subsequent life. They are termed subsequently effective karma. They become inactive if they do not operate in the second birth. Those actions that may produce their effect in any life in the course of wandering in samsara or repeated birth and death are known as indefinite karma. This clarification of karma is with reference to the time in which effects are worked out. There are four classes of karma according to functions. Every birth is conditioned by past good and bad karma that predominate at the moment of death. The karma that conditions the future birth is called reproductive karma. Another karma means step forward to achieve or maintain actions of this reproductive karma. Some other actions which tend to weaken, interrupt or retard the fruitions of the reproductive karma may step in. Such actions are respectively termed supportive karma and counteractive karma. According to the law of karma, the potential energy of the reproductive karma could be nullified by a more powerful opposing karma of the past, which is seeking an opportunity to surface and may quite unexpectedly operate just as a powerful opposing force can check the path of the flying object and bring it down to the ground. Such action is called destructive karma, which is more effective than supportive and counteractive karma. In fact, it cannot only obstruct, but also affect the destiny of the whole force. There are four classes of karma according to the priority of effect. The first one is veji or serious karma. This karma, which is either good or bad, produces a result in this life or in the next. If good, it can be purely mental, as in the case of dhyana or ecstasy, or it can be verbal or physical. The five kinds of bad veji karma are matricide, patricide, murder of an arahant, creating a dispute among the Sangha community, creating injuries in the physical body of a Buddha, and wrong beliefs are regarded as belonging to the veji karma. In the absence of the veji karma to condition the next birth, a death proximate karma might operate. This is the karma that appears immediately before the dying moment. Habitual karma is the next in priority of effect. It is the karma that one habitually performs and recollects and for which one has a great affinity. The fourth is the karma which embraces all that cannot be included in the above three. That is, as it were, the reserve fund for emergency case. This, then, is the nature of karmic law. Karmic law, or the karmic effect, is not created by anybody in this universe. It is not created by any religion, and it operates whether people have a religion or not. People experience karmic effects irrespective of their religious labels or beliefs. Some people say that they do not believe in karma, no matter what they believe. We experience good and bad results in this lifetime or hereafter according to whatever good or bad deeds we do. So, the duty of a religion is to explain how this karma acts and how to accumulate good karma and how to abstain from bad karma. It is this doctrine of karma that gives consolation, hope, self-reliance, and moral courage to a Buddhist. The belief in karma validates his effort and his enthusiasm because it teaches individual responsibility to maintain human dignity, to live peacefully, and allow others also to live peacefully. This law of karma explains the problems of suffering, the mystery of so-called fate and predestination of other religions, and above all, the inequalities of mankind. The belief that people maintain about their fate or good and bad luck is based on this karmic law. From the Buddhist point of view, there is nobody behind to handle or operate this karmic law. Karmic law is unbiased. Praying, worshipping, offering, and performing all sorts of rites and rituals, torturing the physical body in the hope that they can prevent the bad effect of karma is not accepted to the Buddhist point of view. So each and every person is individually responsible for his or her own karma. By performing more and more good karma, people can overcome or suspend the effect of certain bad karma for a limited period. So, they will be able to continue doing their good karma life after life until they attain their final goal. At that stage, karmic results have no chance to operate. Then, the karmic results automatically extinguish. So, that karma has no chance to produce another life in rebirth. When a person is completely free from all mental defilements by eradicating all the forces of karmic results, the final goal can be reached. Some religions encourage people to believe in the forgiveness of sins. The followers may be tempted to enjoy sensual pleasures by violating the peace and happiness of innocent people in the hope that they may be forgiven later if they repent and pray. In the same manner, having heard that bad karma can be overcome by accumulating more good karma, some Buddhists may also be led to believe that they can enjoy their worldly life by committing evil. They believe they can do this so long as they can later reform and create good great karma which will negate their bad actions. But do not take the advantage to commit evil by misusing this liberty. Because that attitude can pave the way for men to commit more evil deeds and miss the chance to overcome the effect of the evil deeds. Try to avoid evil as much as you can and try to get into habit of doing good. Since we can never predict the final karmic impression which will emerge at the dying moment, we should constantly try to develop good thoughts to ensure that good thoughts will appear rather than an evil action performed in the past. Karma neither hates nor loves, neither punishes nor rewards. It has no favorites. It cannot be placated, nor can it be supplicated. It is unbiased and impersonal. No one can seek to overcome or change its inexorable effect by rites and rituals, physical torture, or other forms of bribery, such as through the intercession of intermediaries. The Buddha says, purity and impurity depend on oneself. No one can purify another. Karma is an impersonal natural law that operates in accordance with our actions. It is a law in itself and does not have any lawgiver. Karma operates in its own field without the intervention of an external independent ruling agent. Karma can be put in the language of the child. Do good and good will come to you, now and in the future. Do bad and bad will come to you, now and in the future. In the language of the farmer, karma can be explained in this way. If you sow good seeds, you will reap a good harvest. If you sow bad seeds, you will reap a bad harvest. In the language of science, karma is called the law of cause and effect. Every cause has an effect. Another name for this karma is law of moral causation. Moral causation works in the physical realm. Misinterpretation. The misinterpretation of irrational views on karma are stated in our Buddhist book. The belief that all is the result of creation by a supreme ruler. The belief that everything arises without reason or cause. These are the wrong views regarding this karmic law. Buddhists believe that karma explains the inequalities that exist among human beings. These inequalities are due not only to heredity in environment and nature, but also to karma, or the result of our own actions. Besides our own karma, there is no other reasonable source for us to depend on to give a justifiable explanation with regard to discrimination among mankind. However, we must understand that karma is only one of the factors which are responsible for the success and failure of our life. Since karma is an individual force, we cannot see it working with our physical eyes. But we can see and experience the result of good and bad karma. If we understand karma as a force or a form of energy, then we can agree that we can discern no beginning. To ask where is the beginning of karma is like asking where is the beginning of electricity. Karma, like electricity, does not begin. It comes into being under certain conditions and disintegrates when these conditions cease to exist. Conventionally, we say that the origin of karma is volition, but this is a conventional saying that the origin of a river is a mountain top, like the waves of the ocean that flow into one another. One unit of consciousness that flows into another is called the working of karma. In short, every living being, according to Buddhism, is an electric current of life that operates on the automatic switch of karma. To understand the law of karma is to realize that we ourselves are responsible for our own happiness and our own misery. We are the architect of our karma. Buddhists believe that man has every possibility to mold his own karma and thereby influence the directions of his life. That is why it is impossible to find out the origin of a life, because life is the result of combinations of various factors, causes, elements, and energies. Those who talk about the origin of life do not know that they are dreaming. Although the Buddha has expounded that we are constituted according to our karma, he also advised us not to remain and live to these karma. Man is not a complete prisoner of his own actions. Nor is he a mere machine that automatically releases in extinctive force that enslaves. Nor is he a mere product of nature. Man has within himself the strength and ability to control his karma. His mind is mightier than his karma. And so the law of karma can be made to serve him. Man does not have to give up his hope and effort in order to surrender himself to his own karmic force. If he uses his human effort, human intelligence and understanding by cultivating his moral conduct and mental training, he will be able to overcome the reactions of karma in order to maintain peace and happiness. The working of good karma can also be compared to a bank account. A person who is virtuous, charitable, and benevolent in his personal life is like a person who is adding to his good karma, but he must replace what he takes off, else one day his account will be exhausted and he will be bankrupt. Thus, a good Buddhist cannot be an escapee. He has to face life as it is and not to run away from it. The karmic force cannot be controlled by inactivity. Vigorous activity for good is indispensable for one's own happiness. Escapism is the result of weakness, but An escapist cannot escape from the effect of the karmic law. Karma knows nothing about us. Does fire know us when it burns us? No. It is the nature of fire to burn, to give out heat. If we use it properly, it gives us life, cooks our food for us to burn anything we wish to get rid of. But if we use it wrongly, it burns us and our property. Its work is to burn, and our affair is to use it in the right way. We are foolish if we grow angry and blame it when it burns us because we have made a mistake. There are inequalities and manifold destinies of men in the world. One is, for example, inferior to another, superior. One perishes in infancy and another at the age of 80 or 100. One is sick and infirm, and another strong and healthy. One is brought up in luxury and another in misery. One is born a millionaire, another a pauper. One is a genius and another an idiot. What is the cause of the inequalities that exist in the world? Buddhists cannot believe that this variation is the result of blind chance. Science itself is indeed all against the theory of chance. In the world of the scientists, all work in accordance with the law of cause and effect. Neither can Buddhists believe that this unevenness of the world is due to a creator God. Karma is the only reasonable and satisfactory answer that we can give as a cause of all these problems, differences, discriminations, suffering, miseries, unhappiness. So if we know how to handle this karma properly, we can avoid many of those problems and maintain peace, happiness, satisfaction in our life. Man has a certain amount of free will, although the mind is deluded with various kinds of defilements. But this free will is not given by another person or any supernatural living being. This is intrinsic free will. So man must be wise to make use of this free will to adjust his life. And he has every possibility to mold his life or to modify his actions. Even the most vicious person can, by his own free will and effort, become the most virtuous person. One may, at any moment, change for the better or for the worse. But everything in the world, including man himself, is dependent on conditions. And without conditions, nothing whatsoever can arise or enter into existence. The more we understand the law of karma, the more we see how careful we must be of our acts, words and thoughts, and how responsible we are to our fellow beings. Living in the light of this knowledge, we learn certain lessons from the doctrine of karma. The belief that some people maintain that there is a supernatural power to forgive our sins or the bad karma that we have committed is not acceptable to Buddhism. I hope that we have learned something on concept of karma from the Buddhist point of view. Thank you. Concept of karma from the Buddhist point of view. Thank you.